Gary Burkett often said that capitalism must be tempered by Christian love, compassion, and stewardship. I am Rob West. Proponents of capitalism and free markets don't often express that concern, just as believers in social welfare rarely count the cost. Jim Jones joins us today to talk about a new way of looking at those ideas, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, today's guest, Jim Jones, is a good friend. He's a chartered financial analyst and a certified kingdom advisor. He's also the author of the novel Utopia Reimagined, an allegory of capital and conscience. Jim, great to have you on the program.
Thanks, Rob. Glad to be here.
You know, Jim, this may be the first time we've interviewed the author of an adult fiction work. Not many of them focus on biblical finances or economics. And so I'm so thrilled about this conversation and introducing this incredible book to our audience. What made you decide to go this route instead of nonfiction?
Well, Rob, you know, it's been my experience and maybe yours that a lot of our time that we spend in our Christian communities is we talk about theology and how that interacts with our lives, and obviously that's really important. But we rarely talk about economics and politics. And the way I define economics is money and wealth and how we distribute goods and services within our community. And then politics is the authoritarian structure and how we use power. You know, Jesus spent a lot of time talking about these topics, and yet his views were very countercultural. And when we don't talk about them within our Christian communities, oftentimes people will end up just adopting the current culture views about economics and finance and politics, and they can oftentimes be in contrast with what Jesus actually taught. And so one of the challenges is if somebody has core beliefs about economics and politics that aren't actually aligned with what Christ taught, how do you challenge them to rethink that? Well, I look at the example of Jesus Christ. What did he do? When he wanted to challenge somebody to think about who's your neighbor, he told a story about the Good Samaritan.
That's right.
When he wanted to challenge somebody about how God interacts with sinners and how he relates to them, the prodigal son. So Jesus used stories to try to help people think about these deep truths. And I think there's a couple of reasons. One is we can live within that story. We can interact with those characters. It sticks with us. We think about them later. And it becomes more effective to us as it goes through. And so if I want to be effective at helping people think through these things, we ought to use a story. It's interesting that G.K. Chesterton once asked the question, why do novels sell more than science textbooks? And his answer was surprising. He said, because the novels are more true. Life is sometimes like a science textbook, but life is always a story. And so that's why I thought to be most effective, we need to do it in a story form.
Well, I appreciate it. It's powerful, and I think you're spot on, and that's why this novel is so effective. Set it up for us, just the big idea. What is the story about?
Well, I think the title gives it away. I mean, that's exactly what we're trying to do, is we're trying to reimagine what utopia looks like.
Yeah, and you do that with some really powerful characters. Before the break here, let's talk about one of the key characters, and that's Alexander.
Yeah, Alexander is a peasant in 18th century France. He lives under the monarch and in a feudal system. And even though he's incredibly talented and he's hardworking and he really wants to make something better for his family, within that society, he just can't. And so he takes his sister with him, and they go through, and they have to flee, so they go into a magical cave. And as they leave that, they end up into Santosa, which is a new society. And he's able to really, you know, have freedom there to develop his talents, and he's compensated for what he contributes to society. But he also finds there's very socialistic tendencies there, and so he has to leave. And so he takes Pauline with him, and he ends up coming through the cave again and coming to New York City. The kind of the epitome of free market capitalism and democracy. But he finds himself very successful in New York City. However, he starts to see some flaws and cracks in that. And so that becomes a real challenge for him.
Yeah. Well, after the break, we'll unpack the other characters and then some of the big ideas. What role does faith play in this? What does the ideal society look like? And how can we then apply this to our lives? We're talking today with Jim Jones. He's the author of the thought-provoking novel Utopia Reimagined, an allegory of capital and conscience. You can learn more at utopiareimagined.com. I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance. We'll be taking your questions today as well. That number 800-525-7000. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Stay with us.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Anyone who has ever been a Boy Scout knows the motto, "Be prepared." But that's not just for scouts. That's life wisdom for anybody. Being prepared makes the difference in all kinds of situations, from surviving a natural disaster to having your neighbors over for dinner. Preparedness is about being proactive, to be ready for something or someone important. In fact, it's something Jesus is doing right now for those who love and follow him. In John 14:3, he told his disciples, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." And that begs the question, are you prepared to meet him? Anchor Devotional is daily encouragement for your walk with Jesus. Sign up today at getanchor.com.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. With me today, my friend Jim Jones. He's a chartered financial analyst and a certified Kingdom Advisor. He's the author of the powerful novel Utopia Reimagined, an allegory of capital and conscience. And what an insightful and really delightful way to explore biblical themes of economics and finance through this really powerful story. And Jim, before the break, you set that up for us and introduced one of the major characters, Alexander. There's another major character, Pauline. Tell us about her.
Well, Pauline is Alexander's sister, and she travels with him through these different societies. And while Alexander is really focused on the economics and political structure, and that's kind of where his area of interaction with those societies occur, Pauline's is more on the moral and cultural side. And so she has to decide what's right and wrong and the social fabric of the different societies. One of the nice things about having a novel and being able to write in this way is you know, we can go through and talk about what the differences between the societies are, and you can intellectually learn about it. But by being in a story, you can actually feel it emotionally. And so you'll have an opportunity to understand what the person felt like in those different societies. And so ultimately, at the end of the book, thankfully, Alexander and Pauline are able to find Utopia, and that's where we end.
I love it. You obviously are a certified Kingdom advisor. You're a chartered financial analyst. How has your experience as a financial analyst influenced not only the story, but also these characters?
Well, I mean, it's very important because, you know, to see where error is, you have to know what truth is. And so having been a financial analyst for over 30 years, a CFA charter holder, and taught economics in a collegiate setting, I understand economics. And so when people state things that are erroneous or they have flaws in their logic, I can see that. But really importantly, when you become a CKA, you really dive deep into God's word and say, what does he teach us about money and power and finances? And so then when clients or other people start talking about views that are inconsistent with that, you can really bring those out, and it's very clear. So it's very important to have that background.
Yeah. I think these characters are also very relatable. How do you think the readers connect with Alexander and Pauline?
Well, I think this is, again, where 30 years of experience of managing money and working with clients has been helpful. I don't know that there's any view in terms of what could be changed in society, whether it's politics or whether it's, you know, culture or whether it's economics, that I haven't heard over that 30-year period. And so these characters really just kind of exemplify, or they kind of are the archetypes for those different views. So I think you'll be able to see yourself in some of the characters and obviously people that you come in contact with.
Let's talk about the role that faith plays in these characters' lives.
Well, I mean, faith is incredibly important for some, but it also represents what we see in the broader society. So for some of our characters, faith is everything. It's everything they see, everything they do is through the eyes of faith. But then we have some characters where faith is important, but the other things are important: ambition, wealth, a need to be accepted. And so for those characters, when those come in conflict, sometimes they put faith in the second place. And then we have some characters that just don't think faith has a place in society today, that it needs to be relegated to something private or non-existent. And so I think you'll be able to see all of those. One of the things that's really nice about, again, having a novel is that not only can we understand what people believe, but we can understand why they believe it. You know, nobody takes a position that they believe to be irrational. They have reasons for it. And so if we can delve into why they believe what they believe, even if you think that they don't believe what's right,
yeah,
it does give them the opportunity to maybe have some compassion or some understanding. And so the interactions with those people that you might have in the future would be better because you understand why they believe what they believe.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Well, of course, the book is titled Utopia Reimagined. So take us into that ideal society for a minute, Jim. What does it look like?
Well, I think as a Christian, you'd have to say it's the kingdom of God fully realized. I mean, when we have the new heavens and the new earth, that's going to be utopia, obviously. And if we think back to, you know, the garden before the fall, God gave Adam a job. He gave him work to do. He gave him Eve to have society. And if we think about heaven after the new heavens, new earth, over a billion people, we're going to have a large number of people that are in this society. And we're still, you know, and we're all not going to be doing the same thing. There'll be musicians, there'll be farmers, there'll be chefs. We'll still have to redistribute goods and services. That's economics. We're still going to have a structure of society that has power and authority. And so we're going to have politics. But they're all going to be done within the nature of Christ and under his leadership. So we're not going to have poor or oppression. We're going to have freedom and care for others. We're actually going to be able to see what agape, self-sacrificing love looks like when we all participate.
Oh, that is powerful. So you talk about the kingdom of God, and that's, of course, what we all want to experience. What does that look like for our listeners?
Well, I think to make that happen, you can't start at a global or national level. You have to start at your own individual Christian community. If you think about what God gave us as a vocation, when he created man, he gave us that we are image bearers. And so we are supposed to reflect the character of God. And to do that, you know, we look back and say, well, what is that? Well, John says the character of God is he's love. And God can be love because he's one God but three persons. And so God the Father, loving God the Son, loving God the Holy Spirit, and this self-sacrificing agape love, That's the nature of who God has always been and will be. And if we're going to reflect that, we have to do it in community. So I can't do that by myself. I have to have self-sacrificing love that gives to you, Rob. Yeah. You give it to me. Yeah. We give it to the other people within our community. And if we're able to do that, and we do it in total, in terms of including economics and the goods and services that we have, the money that we have, in terms of our power and how we manage that, it really does open up an opportunity for us to have the most fulfilling, joyful experience that is so wonderful that it actually is a light to those in the darkness that wants to bring those people in. Of course, we can't do it on our own. You know, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit as He reveals truth to us, as He reveals, gives us the power to be able to become communities that really exhibit that full kingdom of God. That's how it starts. And that's where we need to start, is in our Christian communities.
Oh, wow. What a powerful vision. I love the way you've done this to celebrate God's design for not only economics and wealth creation, but also for community and agape love and loving our neighbors well. Now, Jim, most authors finish a book, do the tour, and then move on to the next project. But I know your vision is to turn Utopia Reimagined into something of a teaching experience. So tell folks about that and how they can get more information.
Well, that's absolutely true. So, you know, you can go to utopiareimagined.com. There's links there to buy the book, but there's also be an opportunity to download a discussion guide. Mm. And I really think, you know, an individual can read the book and get a vision, but when they read it in community, when they read it in their Christian community, they'll be able to share and discuss and come up with a common vision. I mean, that's why Utopia Reimagined was written, was to start a discussion of what that common vision looks like. So utopiareimagined.com, you can get the book, you can download the study guide. Obviously, it's available also on Amazon. Just for this week, for our listeners, we've lowered the price of the Kindle edition to only $1.99, wow, which is a great opportunity for people to look at that. And then if, in fact, you get into your Christian community and you find that there's opportunities that you want to dig deeper, I'm going to have opportunities for people to reach out, schedule a Zoom meeting. I'd love to have a conversation with you and your Christian community of how you could actually create utopia and the kingdom of God within your core group.
I love it. Thanks for giving us an idea of how biblical stewardship and Christian love working together can make the world a better place. Jim, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Jim Jones, author of the thought-provoking novel Utopia Reimagined. Again, the website, utopiareimagined.com. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back.
As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at AFR.net.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
Some chances come along once in a lifetime. When they do, you've got to be ready. AFA Action's Center for Judicial Renewal has such a chance to help the Trump administration make good choices, nominating men and women as Supreme Court justices and other federal judges. Your gift helps make that possible, and we'll give you a free Bible study by Stephen McDowell, God's Blueprint for Life, Liberty, and Property, as a thank you gift. Visit AFAAction.net today. AFAAction.net.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Chelsea Wildman, Associate Director of the AFA Foundation. Occasionally, there are those that have a more complicated financial situation. If that's you, we would love to set up a phone consultation with our team and Rob West, host of Faith Fi on American Family Radio. We will go over your specific situation. If you are interested, please give us a call, 1-800-326-4543, extension 345, or you can visit us at afafoundation.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. So thrilled to have you along with us today. And boy, what a treat to have Jim Jones here today. I'll tell you, Utopia Reimagined is a powerful work. And I would really encourage you to pick up a copy. It's such a unique approach with the allegory and the fiction format. And I think really communicates some powerful ideas about the kingdom of God and capitalism and just how we think about a virtuous cycle that God intended for economics. Let's turn the corner, though. We want to tackle whatever's on your mind today. We want to take your financial questions. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation, now's the time to do that. We've got a few lines open, although the calls are coming in right now, but there's room for you at the moment. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now, and we will look forward to diving into those questions. Maybe it's your spending plan, perhaps it's debt repayment, or maybe it's navigating the stock market. I realize that is a feat in and of itself. Good news up across the board today. Really good earnings last night from Microsoft and Meta. That on top of the deal announced between the U.S. and Ukraine on investment and raw materials and minerals from that part of the world. That's a good sign. We're also hearing that there may be, or we may be close to, the first trade deal with a country unnamed. Some are saying it's possibly India, but that would certainly pave the way and maybe allow us to see a framework for where the U.S. is headed with each of these trade deals that are in the process of being negotiated right now. All of that the market likes, and so we're moving higher today. That's a good thing. The NASDAQ up over 2%, the S&P 500 up more than 1%, the Dow Jones up 0.75%. All right, let's dive into your questions today. We're going to begin in Kansas. Margo, how can I help you?
Yes, thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
My question is, my husband is 68 years old, and he just retired, and I am 63 years old, and I do not work, and I have not worked outside the home except for substitute teaching and teaching just very little while our kids were growing. And my question to you is, we have about $350 to $380 in our 401k, and we have about $80,000 to $90,000 invested in SMI. We have an emergency fund set up of about $17,000 to $18,000. We have no debt, and we've done a budget. We've practiced living on it of $48,000 a year. And so my question to you is it better to take Social Security at 68 for my husband, and we'd be able to live, like I said, on $48,000, and his retirement right now, his Social Security right now would be about $43,000 a year. So is it better to do that or to live on our 401k and wait two more years? And that would be us withdrawing about $96,000 out of the 401k to live on those 2 years at $48,000 each year.
Yeah. So you said you've got $380,000 plus $90,000 in the advisory account. So we put those together. That gives you about $470,000.
So if you were to live on that, what amount would you need to pull from that account if you did not take Social Security?
If we did not take Social Security, we would have to take probably about $5,000 or $6,000
a
year.
Got it. All right. Yeah. So, I mean, that would be well within what, you know, I would want you to take, because we would want you to limit that to no more than 4% a year, but that would be almost $19,000 a year. And you're saying you would only need over the course of a year alongside other income sources, but without Social Security, you'd only need about $5,000 to $6,000.
No, with Social Security, he would make $43,356 a year, and we don't have any other pension. All we have it would be Social Security and our 401k.
Yeah, okay. So if you don't take Social Security and you wait a couple of years, for those 2 years, you'd have to take the full $45,000 or so from the 401k and the managed account?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, each year we would have to withdraw that $45,000 to $48,000 a year.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So about 10% a year. Obviously, you'd not want to sustain that for any length of time. And you know, I think the question is obviously, if you wait until age 70, you know, that's going to boost that check by about 8% a year for each year you wait. So let's say you wait, 3 years, you could, you know, end up with a check about 21% higher than if you were to go ahead and take that at full retirement age. The challenge is now we're, you know, dipping more significantly into those managed accounts. And then, of course, all of that is taxable, whereas with the Social Security, only a portion of it is taxable. So I would just say, you know, I would probably go the route of going ahead and taking Social Security. I wouldn't want you to take it early, but I think you taking it at full retirement age, although you wouldn't have that higher check for the rest of your life, you would lock in, you know, what you would get with your full benefit. And then you'd keep your withdrawal rate, you know, very low, which is great, you know, because you guys would basically be taking 1% a year, which should allow you to stay very conservative on that, both of those investment accounts, and still see those grow over time. So you've got, you know, essentially the guaranteed income. You've still got growth in your $470,000. And if you needed to tap into that for long-term care or something down the road, you would have it. That feels good to me. I mean, I don't think there would be anything wrong with you saying, you know what, we're comfortable taking as much as 10% a year for just 2 to 3 years, knowing that we're going to lock in a check, you know, 21% higher. You would need to live, or he would, you know, another 12 years at a minimum to be repaid for everything you gave up to be able to enjoy that higher check. But the question is, in the near term, you know, you're pulling more out, and especially when the market's likely to be under some pressure, I kind of like you taking less and leaving more invested. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you so much for your time. Lord bless.
All right. You too, Margo. Thanks for calling today. Well, we're just getting started here, folks. Plenty more to go here on Faith and Finance. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Learn University.
That wasn't stereo right there, fellas.
That's jumbled.
Dude, we were struggling.
The bumblebee was called the humblebee. Is that true?
Chicken legs are also called drumsticks.
Yeah, yeah, that's not a good ice cream flavor. They've got some little tiny saddles that they put on those dragons. Unfortunately, you can only ride them once.
Because then they turn around and take your leg off.
Hey, Andrew, you want to ask
it? I'm so excited about getting on. I missed my exit.
Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by credit card debt? As followers of Christ, we are called to be good stewards of what God has given us. That's why our trusted partner, Christian Credit Counselors, is here to help. Their debt management program can help you pay off your debt 80% faster while honoring your commitments in full. Take the first step toward financial freedom today. visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today. Let's go to Ohio. Hi, Larry. How can I help?
Hey, Rob. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for your call.
Hey, I want you to know I'm still working on coming down to buy you a Mexican meal.
I remember that, Larry, and I'm going to take you up on that. So you just let me know when you're coming, all right?
It may not be tomorrow, but we're still working on it.
All right, very good.
And my question would be, if I cashed in a CD, can I gift that to a family member without penalty?
Yeah, so there's two different things going on here. One would be how you get the money out of the CD, which has nothing to do with what you're going to do with it after you get it. And so that would be based on, the penalty would be based on, are you taking it early? So if it's a one-year CD and you ask for your money back after 6 months, you're likely going to be hit with a penalty. And that has no bearing on whether or not after you get the money out, you spend it or you give it away. So that's just really between you and the bank as to what that penalty will be. Now, once you get it, and you may or may not have the penalty, depending on whether you're accessing the money early, then absolutely you could turn around and give that away. And the annual gift exclusion for 2025 is $19,000, which means you can give $19,000 to as many individuals as you want and not let the IRS know about it. It's not taxable to you, not taxable to them. If you're married, you and your wife together could give any individual for 2025, $38,000 between the two of you. If you wanted to go over that, that's no problem. It's still not taxable. Likely, you would just have to fill out gift tax form 709, let the IRS know, and it would chip away at your lifetime gift exemption, which happens to be more than $13 million. So you got a long way to go before you're going to get anywhere close to that. But you do have to report it because they're going to want to track that whenever it goes beyond $19,000. But the fact that you're giving it away has really no bearing on whether or not you pay a penalty, if that makes sense.
Okay, so I can do that at tax time, fill that form out.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Are you looking to do more than $38,000?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, you would just do that at tax time and fill out that form. And, that would chip away at that lifetime exclusion. But again, there's no issue there.
Could I ask you another question?
Of course.
Okay. 401k, right?
Yes.
Would you feel guilty to draw out some money to buy yourself a little gift from your IRA versus going into debt?
Oh, not at all. Yeah, I mean, I think the question is, you know, you've got, you know, various assets to pull from. And, you know, if you wanted to enjoy part of what God has provided for you on something that is going to bring you enjoyment, I think that's a very appropriate use. Remember, money is a good gift from God. And yes, we're to use it to provide and to share with others. But I think it's also for our enjoyment. We see that clearly in God's word. So I would say for you to enjoy part of God's provision is absolutely appropriate. And I wouldn't go into debt to do that. I would say, you know, tapping that 401k makes a lot of sense.
Okay, great. I mean, in comparison, you're either going to pay it there or, you know, they give you these 84-month deals, but they're adding interest in there anyway on the monthly payment. So yeah, it's going to balance out somewhat.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's always just a matter of what are your values and your priorities. You have limited resources, and so just make sure you're not pulling too much out that's going to somehow, you know, down the road impact your ability to continue to fund your lifestyle. But I would say, given those two choices, pull from the 401k during retirement or take on some debt, absolutely. Let's enjoy what God has given you and pull it out of that 401k. Hey, Larry, thanks for your call today. Keep me posted on the trip to Atlanta, sir, and call anytime. Let's go to Arkansas. Hi, Joyce. How can I help you?
My question is, when you have paid tithe, honest tithe on the gross your whole life, mm-hmm. then you retire and draw on Social Security, pension, yes. or your business. Do you continue to pay tithe? Because it seems odd to me that you don't, but I've heard people say it's already tithe. Why do you tithe it again?
Yeah, it's a great question, Joyce, and we do get this question a lot, and I appreciate the heart behind it because you want to honor the Lord with what he's given you. You've been a faithful giver, giving on the gross amount, and so you're right. There is a question, and the question is really this. I think approach number one is what I'll call the simple approach, which is just to say, everything I receive is a gracious gift from the Lord, and I want to give systematically and proportionately on it as an act of worship and really a demonstration that I know it belongs to him. And so I'm going to give, in your case, a tithe, a tenth, on that amount. The other approach is to say, well, the spirit or the principle of the tithe is really around the increase. And so the question is, from your Social Security check, let's use that for example. We could apply this to a withdrawal from a retirement account too, but we'll stay with Social Security for a minute. How much of every benefit check is truly increase versus the amount that's being returned to you that you paid into to the system through your FICA taxes and therefore already tithed on? And that's a very appropriate question. And it's a difficult question to answer, but we can kind of form some rules of thumb around it. And here's the way I would come down on that. And we've got to make some assumptions. So somebody who takes Social Security at full retirement age and lives a normal life expectancy, what you would see is that about 30% of what you're getting in every check would be probably considered a return of what you paid in. And 70% would probably be the portion that represents the employer contribution, because unless you were self-employed, your employer paid half of your Social Security, and that would not have been included in your check, and therefore you would not have already tithed on it. And then the other portion is probably, you know, the growth of the Social Security Trust Fund representing, you know, the amount that they're giving you over and above what you paid in. So I would say, you know, somewhere around 30-70 is probably, if you wanted to try to figure it out, probably the way I would go, where you'd say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and tithe on 70% of every check using my illustration and consider 30% a return of what I had already sent in during my working years, assuming I'm going to live a normal life expectancy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. And I like the idea of just continuing to tithe and that you can't outgive the Lord. But I did want to get an expert, you know, breakdown with that, because no, I'm not going to spend time figuring nickels and pennies or
yes, ma'am.
Even dollars. But thank you.
Well, I appreciate that, Joyce. Thank you. And I like where you came down on that, because I wholeheartedly agree. We can't outgive the Lord. And boy, what a beautiful just demonstration that, God, we trust you. You are a provider. And I think the other idea here, and I suspect this has been true for you as well, is that, you know, the tithe is really the beginning point. For those of us who have seen what Christ has done on our behalf on the cross, you know, we should be, as just an overflow of our gratitude, I think one of the ways we reflect that is through our generosity. And it's one of the privileges God gives us that we're able to partner with him where he's at work, starting with the local church, but then going beyond that to the ministries and causes on the heart of God, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. And that would include FaithFi, that would include American Family Radio, and a whole host of other ministries. So I appreciate your generous heart, Joyce. I appreciate you asking the question. I'm sure others in our listening audience are wondering the same thing. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
A man asked his pastor, "Can you tell me when the end of the world will come?" "No," the pastor replied, "but I can tell you how to be prepared so that you need not be afraid if it came tonight." Well, John MacArthur helps prepare you for the shock and awe that's ahead. So be here for the next Grace to You.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests, plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. So delighted to have so many of you a part of the program today, taking your calls and questions, helping you explore what it looks like to live as a faithful steward. Hey, before we dive back into some phone calls here today, let me remind you about the AFA at the Ark event that's coming up October 30th. Through the 31st at the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. If you've not visited the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter, boy, you are in for a treat. And joining with other AFA listeners and supporters, as well as the team from AFA, Tony Vitagliano and Walker Wildman and Wesley Wildman, will be just an amazing experience for you. Again, it's October 30th and 31st. You can get all the details at afa.net/events. Just click on AFA at the Ark. Again, that's afa.net/events. And you're going to want to go ahead and get registered just as soon as you can to make sure that there is space for you and that you can go ahead and lock in your participation in that event. So once again, afa.net/events. Click on AFA at the Ark to learn more. All right, heading back to the phones. We're going to go to North Carolina and welcome Gracie. Go right ahead.
I would like to sell my home. It's almost 70 years old, and I received Social Security disability. I was told that if you sell a home, it's considered a income, and it will stop your disability to go into a senior resident because I need a home that's handicapped, you know, accessible. Is this true?
Yeah. So what are you earning right now? You're on Social Security disability. Is that what you said?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. And so the law says that selling your home typically does not count as income for SSDI. And so, you know, SSDI is not means tested. So that shouldn't affect your benefits. You know, this would be considered a capital gain. You know, the capital gain on a home sale, again, typically should not affect the SSDI. You know, depending on the size of the gain, do you have a CPA that you work with or somebody that has advised you on these matters?
No, there's gentlemen that come by and say, we'll buy your home and clothes for you, and you don't pay anything. We didn't want to go through a realty because the house is like 70 years old. So they've given us what its value, like $35,900. So it was like, okay, we can go into the senior home because it's handicapped, accessible for me. So is that good, or just go to a realtor to maybe get more? So it's not going to affect the disability at all, correct?
Yeah, so that's again where I'd love for you to get call Social Security just to go over your specific work record. But selling your home typically is not going to affect SSDI. It's really based on your work history, your earned income, your disability status, not your assets or your unearned income, like proceeds from a home sale. Now, if you're receiving SSI instead of or in addition to SSDI, that's where it could affect your SSI benefits because that is means tested.
Right. No, I've worked all my life, almost 52 years, so I've always worked, but I have medical issues, and so that's why I retired at 62. So I'm just wondering, would they say, okay, you're going to get $35,000, we're going to take your check away for you 4 years or something?
Yeah. No, I mean, again, to be sure, you could always call the Social Security Administration and get personalized counsel based on your record, but the big idea here is that if it's SSDI, Social Security Disability Insurance, that eligibility is based on your work history and your earned income and your disability status. Selling your home should not affect that whatsoever.
Could I ask you one more quickly?
Sure, yeah.
Have you heard about these people that come around and say, we buy homes, cash, quick cash, but they're giving me what it's worth? Are they pretty decent?
They are not. My experience is that if you get those cash offers, they're going to offer you generally about 30% less than the market value.
Well, luckily they were giving me the market value, but I could probably get more if I use a realtor, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. If they're coming in and just willing to pay cash and not put it out on the open market, you're normally going to have to settle for something around 30% less than what you could get if you just put it out there on the open market for somebody to do the, you know, pay what it's actually worth based on market comparables.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. You're very welcome. Thanks for your call today. Let's go to Georgia. Hi, David. How can I help?
Hey, this is David from Georgia. Just wanted to add to the lady who had just called in, not the last one, the one before, had a question. She had a question about tithing.
Yeah.
On Social Security when she had tithed all of her life on the gross. Yep. I also have done that all my life, tithed on the gross. I'm now 62, fully retired from civil service, had FERS, Federal Employee Retirement System, thrift savings plan, also now Social Security. So I had to face the same question. So this is just kind of a comment on what I did.
Okay, great.
Social Security will tell you in their Social Security statement how much you have contributed to Social Security. They'll also tell you how much your employer contributed to Social Security.
Right.
In my particular case, I took that amount. I said, okay, I have already tithed on the amount that I have paid. So when I'm getting benefits back, I don't need to tithe on that again, right? So what I did was I basically did an amortization the equivalent of a depreciation schedule across 10 years and said, okay, let's depreciate that or reduce my income that I would now normally be tithing off of because I would be tithing off of my, you know, income sources.
Yep.
But let's reduce that by 1/10 each year of what I have already tithed on in Social Security. Do you get the concept?
I do, yeah.
Did I say that clearly?
You sure did, and I think that's certainly one way to go at it. I like that. I think that's a really thoughtful approach. My approach is just to look at somebody, and we just have to make some assumptions. Somebody who is, you know, an average earner claiming at full retirement age, and then look at what those lifetime Social Security benefits would be estimated to be based on somebody who's going to live a normal life expectancy. And then you have to factor in the cost of living adjustment as well. And what you can arrive at is essentially, you know, what percent of what you would expect to receive over your lifetime, what percent is your contribution, which you're exactly right. There's a precise number of that at mysSA.gov. You can see what that is for your portion, which you would have already tithed on. And then you could establish a percentage that represents your portion versus the rest of it out of each check that would ultimately get you to your lifetime benefits that also factors in your employer contribution, the growth, and the cost of living adjustments, which none of that had been tithed on. And that generally, if you look at that, would come down to a 60-40. 40% of each check would be return of what you already paid in. 60 would represent all of those other things. So that's just a different kind of methodology. But I like what you did there, David. I think it makes a lot of sense.
And for my case, I took the more simplistic approach and said, look, 10 years from 62, I'll be 72. I can start then pulling money out of like thrift savings or some other that sort of plan.
Yeah.
And transfer it directly to then my charitable organization, my church, you know, tax-free.
Absolutely.
And I really like how that you have covered that. And plus, the other thing is, none of us know how long we have.
That's right.
So for me, I think, you know, 72 is pretty safe for myself and my family. So yeah. I just wanted to kind of add that in there. I really appreciate you covering that today.
I love that, David. Well, thank you for sharing that. I'll tell you, you know, as we hear different perspectives on it, it gives us, you know, new insights. Ultimately, I think for each of us, it's, you know, between you and the Lord, for you to kind of pray through that and decide, how am I going to approach this? And I think the bottom line is, you know, we can't outgive God. But at the same time, we, you know, for those who want to be more precise and what portion of my giving, even though we may go well beyond that, represents the tithe, and what portion is really beyond the tithe, that's a very legitimate question to ask, I think, by well-meaning Christ followers who want to be good stewards. So thanks for weighing in on the conversation, David. It's a fascinating one. Let's see. We're headed to Arkansas. Hi, Ann. Go ahead.
Yes, I heard you talk about the limit of $19,000 gift to a person per year. And I wondered, is the same limitation apply if you're giving to a 501c3 but not claiming it on your taxes?
No, ma'am. That would be totally different. Yeah, so the IRS has an annual gift exclusion, and a gift meaning it's a gift from one individual to another individual. And that for 2025 is $19,000. You can gift $19,000 to as many people as you want. Now, if you go over that, the IRS wants to know about it, and that's going to chip away at your lifetime exemption. That is different than you making a contribution to a not-for-profit 501c3 organization. No limit on that. It may or may not be deductible depending upon what portion of your income that represents. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you very much.
All right, Ann. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate you being on the program. Folks, that's going to do it for us. Hey, let me make a quick reminder. If you'd like to support our work here at Faith and Finance, we'd be grateful. We'd invite you to be a FaithFi partner. You will help us reach more people, help to fund our listener-supported work, and receive great benefits for you to be able to grow in your own stewardship journey, including 4 issues of our magazine, Faithful Steward, all of our studies and devotionals, including our brand new one due out in 2 weeks called Wisdom Over Wealth. Just head to faithfi.com and click give. Faithfi.com and click give. Thanks to Taylor, Sandy, and Devin. We'll see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.